Amen. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles tonight to Psalms chapter number 12. Psalms chapter 12. I know most of you probably knew exactly where we were going, and looking forward to this passage of scripture here. So if you were here on Sunday night, you heard that I was starting to lose my voice, and pretty much by Monday was for the most part gone. The Lord helped, and we were able to help with the Casperi's service. It was a shorter service, and then pretty much the rest of the day on Monday, I didn't talk at all. Never see my wife as happy as that. So she kept on asking questions, and I was like, I know a little bit of sign language. She's an interpreter, but I know some sign language, and we went to a store afterwards to pick up some things for the church, and then did some different things. Pretty much Tuesday, same thing. Tried not to talk a lot. Did mostly texting when it was something I needed to communicate with people, and really just tried to preserve my voice. So I think it's in pretty good shape. We'll see. I haven't really tested it out too much. I haven't had pretty much any other symptoms except for a little bit of coughing when I agitate it. So I'm still probably not going to be shaking a lot of hands unless you really want to shake hands, because I don't want to pass any germs, but I don't really feel too bad. But my voice definitely suffered this past week, and had a couple people willing to fill in, and I appreciate those offers. But I feel like we're going to be good tonight. So Psalms chapter number 12. Last week we looked at this thought about what can the righteous do. And it's talking about if the foundations be destroyed, in chapter 11, verse number 3, what can the righteous do? And we talked about how we still trust in the Lord, because we understand that our foundation cannot be destroyed. If we're building upon Jesus Christ, nothing is ever going to take God off that throne. Nothing ever will. We can stay, it's steadfast, and we can just keep on building and building and building. But I tell you, sometimes life gets a little bit overwhelming, and sometimes you just don't know what to do, and sometimes you just want to cry out to God, and that's what this kind of does. And I love the way this psalm starts. I had mentioned on Sunday morning how much I enjoyed the way Psalms 116 starts. This is another one of my favorite ways a psalm starts. It's just a very simple prayer. Help, Lord. Help, Lord. I just like that. I don't know how many times in my life I've said that, but there's been a lot of times. Just help, Lord. I'm overwhelmed. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Crying out to God, God, just help me. Help, Lord. And so that's what David does here. And you see the reason why he does it. I know the back-to-back of these chapters, I believe they're different time periods, but at the same time, I think they have a similar theme as running through and continuing on. What are we supposed to do when the world is going crazy? What are we supposed to do when there is nobody that's acting godly, and when the faithful are falling and failing among the children of men? What is it that we're supposed to do? We're supposed to trust the Lord, and we're supposed to pray. And so David here gives some instruction here. There's a couple of things God kind of spoke to my heart about, and want to share them with you tonight. Hopefully this will be an encouragement and help to you. Psalms chapter number 12, we're going to go ahead and read the whole chapter. It's pretty short. It's only 8 verses, but there's a lot of good things in it and a lot of thought-provoking things. I'm hoping that there'll be some things the Lord will work on your heart about like he did on mine. Verse number 1, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said, with our tongue will we prevail? Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I rise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful for tonight, thankful for your word, thankful for the Psalms, thankful for so many things we already learned and already heard. Lord, thank you for helping preserve my voice a little bit. Lord, help it to get through the service without much issue or problems. Lord, we'll just leave it in your hands. And Lord, we pray that your words tonight will be inspirational to us, to want to live godly lives, not to be one of the faithful that has failed. But instead, Lord, we would desire to hear from you and want to live for you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So when I read through the Bible, when I read through the scriptures, you know, I want to apply the things to my life. I want to understand the doctrines. I want to understand the context. I want to see all the settings. But what can I learn from it? Those are the questions I'm interested in. When I read this and I see things, what he's talking about the evil. He's talking about the wicked. He's talking about how there doesn't seem like there's any godly men and how it seems like even the faithful fail among the children of men. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be somebody who's acting ungodly. I don't want to be somebody that's failing among the children of men. I don't want to be known for someone that's speaking vanity with their neighbor. I don't want to be somebody with the flattering lips and the double heart. I understand that, you know, God's going to prevail. It says in verse number 4, who have said with our tongue, we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? That's just foolishness. I mean, that is just plain foolishness. We know who's going to prevail. God is going to be the one that prevails. We understand that. We know that. But what do we take from this psalm? Do we understand the background? Now, we don't know exactly when this psalm was written. Most commentators or theologians, however you want to put it, they would say it was when he was still running from Saul. Many thinks it's after that man Doeg had gone in and killed all the priests and did all those different things. And because of he went into that town where this priest had helped David, gave him the, and David had kind of told him something that was trying to get the sword of Goliath and get some food and do things that was a little bit questionable in some people's minds. And because of that, this evil man sees as he goes and he wipes out all the priests, wipes out all their families, wipes out everything that has to do with them. And so that's when you get David when he says, help, Lord. And then you see this next phrase, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. And if we looked at the chapter 11 last week, we talked about how it seemed that is if they were attacking, that the people they should be able to trust, you know, where the people, where the foundations are at, you know, the people we're supposed to be able to trust. What happens if they're all destroyed? We're not trusting in men. We're trusting in the Lord. So let's look at this. The first thing is the plea of David. If you want to take notes, there's three different points. There's the plea of David, there's the promise of God, and then there's the principle of evil. When we consider the plea of David, we find in verse number 1, help, Lord. There's a simplicity in this. Some of the best prayers are short prayers. Some of the most sincere prayers are short prayers. We think about some of the short ones that are out there. We think about Peter when he's going into the water. Lord, save me. You know, there's, you know, be merciful to me, O sinner. You know, all those different things. You know, God doesn't need a bunch of flowery words. God wants us to have sincere, honest conversations with him. He knows our struggles. He knows our hearts. It's simply a conversation with God. And if we, on Sunday, if the Lord continues to lead, we're going to look at that thought, Abba, Father, and look about how he wants us to look at it as, yes, he's God. Yes, he's holy. Yes, he's high and lifted up. But he wants us to feel as if we can come to him as his child and that he's our father. We can come to him. And then we're going to look a little bit at that on Sunday. But help, Lord. And then look at the specific of the plea. You see, he says, for the godly man ceases. And that's probably one of the most important phrases for me. And I began thinking, you know, we need some godly men. In this world, we need some godly men. I'm thankful for the godly men that are of our church, but we need more godly men in this world. We need some men that are going to say, hey, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to act like God. I'm going to look, try to become more like God. We need some men who know what they're standing for and why they stand for it. And that's what David is saying, for the godly man ceases. And we look at that across the world. We look across the country, look in our churches many times. There are not men that are being godly. They're trying to act godly. They're trying to live for God. There isn't a day and time that we live in. They don't relish the position that God has given them in the leadership of the home. They don't relish the different ways that God has laid out for them to love their wives and the different parts of being faithful and all those things. And I began as I was thinking, for the godly man ceases. You know how many times I've heard moms who have girls say, where's all the good guys at? And I respond to them. And sometimes I get dirty looks. So I say, where are all the good girls at too? Because it's not just a guy problem, it's a girl problem too. And we you know, sometimes I tell the teenagers, hey, you want some type of godly individual to be your mate and you want to go live like the world? You think God's going to talk to this godly individual and tell this godly individual go chase after somebody that's in the world? I don't think God's going to work that way. I think that God's got, I mean, we're the godly man sees us that. And I thought to myself, God, I don't want to be that. I want to be a godly man. I want to be someone who loves the Lord and someone who desires that God would work. And then you see, for the faithful fell from among the children of men. And I began thinking, you know, how many times have we seen those that we thought were faithful? And they got mixed up with the children of men. They've got mixed up with the things of the world and they've fallen. And that's, and so when I take this verse and I apply it, I understand, especially if he's talking about all those priests that are gone, that were killed because of some of his actions. And he's talking about how the those that are faithful lost their lives. I understand the context of that. But when I read that and I see in the day and time that we live in, you know what? Where's the godly people? Now, some would look at this as being prophetical because of the fact that it says for in verse number five, that the Lord's going to rise up and he's going to take care of all the people. And I think the Lord, I think you can apply that to sometime in the future, but you can also apply that to today. But this simplicity is, Lord, help. And we need to get to this spot where help, Lord, is understand that we should need to cry out to God. Why is that? Because we need godly men. You should be praying for other people inside your church, inside your church family, that they would be godly individuals, men and women. Don't get me wrong. I'm not picking on just the men but there is a lot. There is many times a void that is missing inside churches today, inside homes, because there are men who are so mixed up with the things of this world, they have forgotten what God has given them to do and the importance of God's given them. And David's crying out and saying, help, Lord. He says, the godly man ceases. The faithful fail amongst the children of men and from among the children of men. So we see here the specifics of the plea. There's a decline in the godly. So where do we apply that? I think God's still looking for godly men to rise up and do things. We want to teach that to the next generation. We want to show that next generation. We need to show that through our lives. I see there's a few people signed up for our men's retreat, and some of them are young people. I think that's wonderful. I mean, of course, they're above 18, but there's a couple younger ones that are interested in going and being a part. I think that's a great thing because we need some of the older men or even the middle-aged men to teach those younger ones. And it's not teach them how to act like in the world. It's not teach them how to get away with certain things. It's not to teach them how to be worldly and this. And then once again, there's nothing wrong with teaching different trades and different things and showing them things about whatever it is that you are experts at, whether it's guns or hunting or fishing or boating. All those things are great, but we need some men that want to act godly and that will show that to the next generation. There's importance of being godly. It's not just showing up, it's being involved and connected and saying, I want to love the Lord with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind. I want to show that. And that's when we pray this, help, Lord. I think when we consider the lack of leadership throughout this whole world, I go through and I knock on doors and I see on our van ministry and our bus ministry, and a few of them do have fathers at their home, but this is not the majority. The most of them don't have a male figure at home. Many times there's one little girl or one little boy has one mom and one dad, and then they have a different dad, and then they have a different dad. There is something missing in America today, and unfortunately, unfortunately, it started here in our churches when men stopped wanting to take the godly leadership role that they need to have. Now, there's a scriptural way to do that, yes, but we need men. And I meant, like I said, it's have more than one mom that's told me, where's all the good guys at? And, you know, then once again, I says, I know we need to pray for godly young men, but we also need to pray that there be godly young women for the godly young men, too. So you see here the plea, and it reminds me of a few verses that are found. Ezekiel 22:30 was one of those. I sought for a man among them that they should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. I mean, that's probably a familiar verse to some of you, and it's a good one. He's saying, I sought for a man among them. You know, someone to stand in the gap before me. And he says at the end, I found none. What would God find in our church? Godly men and women that want to serve the Lord? I hope so. I even think about 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars. He says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Is God looking throughout Faith Baptist Church, looking for someone's heart who is perfect toward him, someone he can show himself strong in, someone he can show himself his might and his power through. He's looking for people like that. And when David says, help, Lord, he's saying the reason why we need help is because the godly, they've ceased. And those that are faithful, they have failed amongst the children of men. They've messed up. So I think when I look at this and I consider when I see this, it's like, man, that's my prayer. I don't want to fail. I don't want to fail among men. I don't want to get caught up in this world. I want to live a godly life. Yes, do I fail at times? Of course. That's when I get right with the Lord and keep on determining, like we talked about in Sunday school. We fear the Lord. And then we make that decision. But there's some steps in there. We got to be completely sincere. We got to make that choice and make that choice day by day. So we see the decline of the godly. But look at this, continuing the request there. He says in verse number 2, this is his prayer, the plea. He says, they speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. Now, so when I read that, and so how do I take that and apply it to my heart personally? I don't want to be around people like that. If there's people in this world that are speaking vanity, and when you sit there and you think about it, there's the decline there. There's a distinct decline of godly men, yes, but the declarations, the word of the godless, and this, so the if you're keeping outline, the simplicity of the plea underneath that would be the specifics of the plea. There's a decline from the godly. There is a declaration of the godless. They speak vanity. The words of the godless, they seem like they prevail today more than over the godly. You think about how the liberal news and how social media and profanity is like the time in the society we live in. It's like the tongue of the wicked sit there and they pollute the land that we live in. I mean, it just gets worse and worse. And that's what he's saying here. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. What are you going to do? You cry out to God. You help, Lord. Also, you make sure, God, I want to be a godly individual. I don't want to fail among men. And one of the ways you don't do that is by getting involved and talking into the gossip and the vanity. That's what it's saying here. Look at how the godless is going to speak. One that is not acting godly. One that says, they speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. We need to pray. Say, God, you know, I don't want to be around people like that. I don't want to let someone like that influence me. And unfortunately, sometimes they're in churches. We got to be very careful. We got to be discerning in what we do. Now, are we rude to people? Of course not. Do we reach out to people? Yes. Do we pray for people? Yes. But I'm not going to let someone influence me that just does not, one thing, does not want to do anything but gossip. And does not want to speak, say one thing out of one side of his mouth, say something else out of the other side of his mouth. That's what it's talking about here, being a double heart, do they speak? There's hypocrisy with this. There's with they flatter with their lips. They try to, the flattery is not a truth, it's a falsehood. It's trying to get someone to win your favor. So much praise today is, it's deceptive. It's a lying praise. You never know who's telling the truth. Elections are coming up. You know, and you never know who's telling the truth. It's just, you listen to something, and that's the one thing. Where can I find truth? I want truth. I want to understand truth. Sometimes even news organizations on both sides of the coins, they have an agenda they want to do and they want to push. And I want truth. And that's he says, so how do I apply this to my heart and my life? I don't want to be deceived by the deceiver. I don't want to let people who are going to speak vanity with his neighbor and people who are flattering with their lips and double heart. I don't want to have any part of it. I don't need that. And I'm not going to listen to it. I don't care how good of a friend they are. I don't care how long they are. It doesn't matter. I want to be a godly individual. And so when I apply this to my heart, David is saying here, he's crying out, help, Lord. The foundations are crumbling. What am I supposed to do? I bring it before the Lord. And he says, look, this is my plea. The godly ceased. The faithful have fallen. And this is how they talk. They're the decorations of godless. Now, Jude verse 16 puts it this way. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouths speak, give great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. And it's you know, there are people who will use their voices in order to try to get people's admirations, and we must learn to just not listen. Must learn to shut it down. And the Lord will help us to be discerning about those things. But we've been around people that we've been uncomfortable when they start talking and they start saying things that just are not true. You don't want to have anything to do with it. You want to say something to them. And you want to be godly in the things that you're saying. But we realize there are people out there that are going to try to harm others with their mouth. Verse number 3, you see the promise of God. And I love this. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. The day's coming. It's going to be done. It's going to be gone. And there's not going to be the flattering lips. And the Lord is the one that will take care of that. Who have said with our tongue, we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is the Lord over us? And that's the same thing is that when people are just sitting there and they're talking and they're talking and talking, they're prideful in what they're saying. They're flattering their pride. It goes together. And they really believe they're going to prevail. They claim by their vile tongues they're not going to be punished by God. What foolishness. What foolishness. And they see here in verse number 4-5, the oppression of the poor for the sighing of the needy. Now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. He's saying, look, I will rise up. I will take care of this. The Lord's going to take care of us. And that's when you see if the foundations fail in chapter number 11, what are we going to do? Well, our foundations are not going to fall. You see the difference between the words of God and the words of the ungodly. The words of God in verse number 6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. They're pure. They're honest. What are the words of the wicked? They speak vanity. They flatter. They're double-hearted. There's a difference there. We don't have to trust in what this world is coming to. We don't have to be so concerned with what everybody else is doing. We have to make sure that what we are doing is right. The greatest danger, as we mentioned last time, wasn't the bow that was found in verse number 2. They're bending their bow and they could harm you. The greatest danger was, am I going to get outside of God's will? As David is there and he's running for his life from King Saul, you know, everybody's saying, you got to be afraid of Saul. You got to be afraid of this. Got to be afraid of that. And David's like, am I going to really run? Am I going to flee away? Like it said in verse 1, it says, and the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? In chapter 11, verse number 1, he's like, you're really telling me to take off and run? He says, I serve God. And I can trust in the Lord. And so we learned last week, trust in the Lord. You learn, live righteously. And you're learning here, pray and continue to trust in him. Because of the fact that the day is coming that all the mouths will be ceased. And all the tongues, even though they're saying big swelling things, it doesn't matter. We see the punishment in the promise. It says that they're going to be punished in verse number 3. He's cut off all flattering lips. You see the purpose in the promise is to help those. The victims of the evil tongues are many, but God will come to rescue them and victims and deliver them as he punishes the people. We see the preservation of the promise. And the fact that it says in verse number 7, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from his generation forever. Now, some will say that that's referring to the words of the Lord and the preservation of it. And I think the Bible is preserved. The Bible talks about it all the time. But also others believe that's referring to those that are the poor, the oppression, the individuals. In verse number 5, because of the word from this generation forever, it's referring to the individual who's going to take care of it. He's going to preserve his word, and he's also going to preserve the people. And that's exciting when you read in verse number 6. It's been purified. It's been purified 7 times. We can trust in his word. We know what his word is. We know how his word speaks. And so we see the preservation of his word. And you see in verse number 8, the principle of evil. The principle of evil. Look what it says. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. I sit there and I think about the condition there. It describes a condition that exists in our world today. We're surrounded by wickedness. We really, truly are. There is wickedness all around. We have just gotten so used to the dark, it doesn't bother us anymore. We've just gotten so used to all the wickedness and all the things that are happening and seeing, and that's what they want us to do. They want us to keep on getting used to it, not want to correct sin, not want to speak up about it. The godly man ceases, and the faithful have failed among men. And it's a challenge that comes across here is, what is a man supposed to do? You cry out, help, Lord. I'm going to determine. I'm going to live a godly life. I'm going to determine to be faithful. I'm not going to listen to the flattery. I'm not going to listen to the double-hearted, double-tongued person that really, truly needs our prayers instead of our support. I'm not going to do those things. I'm going to trust the Lord because the Lord has said that he is going to prevail. In verse number 4, they're saying, "Who with our tongue will we prevail?" Like someone's tongue is going to stop God from what God's going to do. And it's not going to happen. No matter how much they say, no matter how loud they say, homosexuality is never going to be right. No matter how much they say and how loud they say it, abortion is never going to be right. You know, there's different things that they were surrounded by, all these different things. And people were saying, you got to believe this, you got to believe this. They want us to be tolerant of everything, but no one wants to be tolerated of the truth of the Word of God. And it's something we got to remember, that we're surrounded by it. And when we are surrounded by it, the vilest men are exalted. Evil will exalt evil, and the evil will thrive in the world. Wicked entertainers, wicked politicians are exalted and they're praised, they're honored today. But let's remember, we're not the only ones. There are others that are serving the Lord. I think about the day Elijah had this complex that was out there in 1 Kings chapter 19. He was talking to God and he was saying, me, I'm the only one that hasn't bowed the knee. I'm the only one that hasn't bowed the knee. That wasn't true. That wasn't true at all. Even God corrected him. He gave this certain total. He says, no, there's this many that haven't bowed the knee. And we must learn to work together and worship the Lord together and learn to want to not be the ungodly, not be the one that ceases. We want to keep on going. We want to keep on being faithful. We don't want to let those who are speaking vanity and those who are flattering and those who are double-minded and double-hearted be influencing our lives, because God says that's going to be done for someday. And we can imagine David, he is running for his life. He has seen a tragedy with losing all these priests, losing these people he helped, probably even feeling guilty about this. And he's saying, help, Lord, help, Lord, help, Lord. And that's what we need to come to. This is what we need to learn and understand. I'm not going to fix this. I can't fix all these things, but you know what I can do? I can be godly. I'm not going to be able to fix that. The fact that there's vileness all around me, that the wicked walk on every side and the vilest men are exalted. I'm not going to be able to fix that. But you know what I can do? I can stay faithful. I don't have to listen. I don't have to be a part of that. And that's what David is sitting here, and he's overwhelmed by what's happening in his life, and he comes to this reality and says, help, Lord. So when the foundations are broken, when everybody else, when even the leadership looks like it's supposed to be a certain way, when your president doesn't even do right, even when you had, if you had a pastor that didn't do right, or if you had someone else, maybe a mother or a father that failed and did something wrong, the foundations are broken. No, our foundation is not on individuals. People will fail. Our foundation is in the Lord. So what will the righteous do? The righteous will learn how to continue to do what's right. And you saw here that they trusted in the Lord in chapter number 11. They continue to do what's right in verse number 7 of chapter 11. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. And verse number 12, we learn they'll learn to pray. When will we be sent to our knees? When the wicked are all around us, we're there. When will we be sent to our knees? When the vilest is exalted up, we're there. Look in Washington. Look at the leaders of the world today. It's so much wickedness out there. But what does that supposed to do? Sends us to our knees. Help, Lord. When's the last time we really truly prayed and sought God? When's the last time we've read verses like this and said, you know what? There isn't a lot of godly people in this world. I want to be this godly person. And I want to find out what that looks like. I want to be the faithful person. I don't want to fall. I don't want to put up what they're doing in verse number 2. I want to trust in the Lord, like he says in verse number 3. Understand that people are speaking foolishly in verse number 4. And we see God rising up in verse number 5. And we can trust in his word. His word's never going to fail us. His word's never going to change. It's settled forever in heaven. We don't have to listen to the words in chapter 2, verse number 2. We don't have to listen to the words in verse number 4, but in verse number 6, they've been purified. I can trust in God's word. He said he's going to preserve it. He's also said he's going to preserve me. So I'm going to trust in him and trust in his ways. Tonight, in Psalms chapter number 12, help, Lord. I don't know what happens in your life and what causes you to get there, but there's times in my life where I'm just overwhelmed, don't know what I'm supposed to preach on, don't know what I'm supposed to do on a certain situation, but with an open heart, open mind, help, Lord. I guess cry out, God, I am in a spot. I have no idea what to do. I'm completely and utterly dependent upon you. And you know what God thinks? He's not saying, oh, that's a shame. I don't know what we're going to do. God's probably saying, that's good. That's where you need to be at the beginning. You couldn't fix it to begin with. You needed to trust in me, cry out that way now instead of trying to fix it on your own. That's where David is. He is out on his own, completely depending on God because he has no other hope, no other help. When we learn to understand that, then we'll be right where God can use us. Not right where God wants us, but right where God can use us. See, what's the difference? God isn't trying to make you feel, he's not trying to make you feel desperate. He wants you to trust in him at the beginning. He wants you to trust in him when things are going really well, and he wants you to trust in him when things are going very desperate. You go through and you read a lot of those Psalms. Many times they are the valley, but sometimes they're the high point. Sometimes it's the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Sometimes it's like, it, all the, you know, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. You know, sometimes he wants us to learn to trust in every area. He wants us to learn, help, Lord, even when things are going well. But here he's saying, Lord, the godly man ceases. You know, like I said, we need to pray, you know, for young ladies to find godly men. We need to pray that our young men will find godly ladies. But we need to make sure that we're raising godly young men and godly young ladies so God will bring the two together too. So tonight, maybe it's good to consider, help, Lord. What in your life do you need to say, I can't do it, God? Help, Lord. Let's pray.